So we have the four clay cases of Miklanya that stretch from Daf Lamed Amud Aleph through Lamed Beis onto Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The four cases where the counterclaim of the Nitan, the defense of the Machzik, is not that I bought it from you, but that I bought it from a third party. The four cases of the third party sellers. Come back to the first case. We had dug into the second case. Let's recap where we were at, and then let's move forward and hopefully right today be able to boomerang back from case number four back to case number one. The Nachamo. Case number two was from the two dots on top of Lamed Beis that we had spent time on. That's where the Machazik's Taina is Miplanya Zavina, and I have a Chazaka. I bought for the third party, and I have Shnei Chazaka after I claim to have bought it from the third party. I don't have a star. I don't need a star. I have a Chazaka. And the Marakama's pushback was what? Plania Gazlan. He's a Gazlan, and therefore what? This is, we had seen that while the Rashbam said Plania Gazlan with a lowercase gimel, just he stole from me. In other words, just saying, it doesn't matter that you have Shnei Chazaka from Ploni. He wasn't the owner. I never sold it to him, so it doesn't help. I'm sorry that you thought you bought it from him, but he wasn't authorized to sell it. Well, that's the Rashbam says, with a lowercase gimel, just saying, he stole it, it's not valid. Well, Tosa said, no, this is actually a reference with an uppercase gimel. Not stop, he stole it. He is a Gazlan. He is crowned, so to speak, with the infamous crown. Not the Kesser Torah, Kesser Malchus, the Kesser Shem Tov, or the Kesser Kahuna. But yes, the Kesser Gazlanus. He is crowned. He has a Chal Hashem that no one wants to have, hopefully. He is a Gazlan. That's a Totosis. And the Lady Rishonim, Ben Yon and the Rosh, point to, we saw last time, the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Mem Beis already speaks about particular people, just to review briefly. The Mishnah Mem Beis of an Alfrei speaks of particular people who cannot have a chazaka. They didn't do anything wrong, but because they already had a prior business relationship, if I already hired you as a sharecropper, as an artist, to work on my property, and you were working on my property, we're doing profit sharing, because the capital is mine, the labor is yours, it was my land, you were putting in the work, and we were therefore sharing profits, that's called arisus, sharecropping. So the artist cannot turn around after 3 years and say, oh, I have a chesed abatim gimel shanim on the karka. No, we know why you were here. You were here, at least initially, as a sharecropper. It could be that at a certain point you bought it out, but your chazaka is not going to be a proof of it. You're going to need to have something else. Edim, shtar, or something. And the Mishnah in other cases, shutfim, don't have a chazaka in one another, because it makes sense to you were on the property without me, because we're partners. So you can't prove that you bought me out just because you've been here. Or the Mishnah says, umnim. That's metalfa, that's not karka. If you're a watch repair place, you can't, that's my watch, you can't say, oh, but I bought it from you, look, I'm muchzak. No, we know why, I mean, it's possible that you bought the watch from me, but merely your possession of it is not proof of anything if you are a watch repairman. If you are an uman, the fact that, I mean, if you have my bike, that may be a chazaka, but if you have my watch, you're a watch repairman, so these are all the people she'ein lahem chazaka. That was the Mishnah Mem Beis. Tosus had sent us to the Gemara in that Mishnah. The Gemara is in Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara had added to this holy list an unholy member. It's very beautiful to be an aris, to be an umun, to be a shutaf, to be involved in legitimate business activities, and everything is on the up and up. But it means that you don't have a chazaka. The Gemara adds an unsavory member of the list is a gazlan. If you're a Gazlan, then you don't have a chazaka. Even your son isn't going to have a chazaka on property that he claims he got from you. Why? Because of illegitimate business relationships. We think that the fact that you have the property, that doesn't tell us that you have legitimate ownership of it. That we're likely to think that maybe you bought it, or maybe you just helped yourself to it. Be'gazlanas, be'isser, rachman al-islam. So a gazlan ain't lo chazaka, and the Gemara went on to say also that a gazlan, another unique feature of the gazlan, of course, a dafim zayin, the gazlan also, he cannot come with a claim of hoda. A gazlan cannot come and say, that property is really mine, it's not Noam's. And Noam admitted in front of Aden that it's mine. So the Gemara says in Mem Zayin Aleph, a Gazlan cannot make that claim. Normally you can. Reuben and Shimon are arguing over whatever property, whatever asset, whatever they're arguing over, a loan, whatever it is. And Reuben says, Shimon admitted in front of Aden that I'm right. That's all Hadaz Baldin. We'll dig into that more soon. But Hadaz Baldin, Kimei Aden Nami, Hadaz Baldin is very valid. You can prove that the other party made Hadaz Baldin. You have Aden who heard him say it, Gevaldik. But not if you are a Gazlan. The fact that Reuven was Moda, that Noam was Moda, Yitzhak was Moda, to a Gazlan, yeah, that's the Hoda is worthless, because everybody knows. You're scared. If you don't say the right thing, he's going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. He's going to make an offer that you can't refuse. You know that you are in danger. So that Hoda is worthless. So with that, the Tosa says that. That's what the Gemara means. Come back to our Gemara. Tosa says, Polanya Gazlana. There's case number two. Where I say, the Marakama said, you bought from Plano, he doesn't count as a Gazlan. That's gone. He stole it from me. He is a Gazlan, and therefore he has no Chazaka. This is a status thing. You bought from him, it's worthless. He's a certified Gazlan. We're going to discuss at the end, what certifies you as a Gazlan. But he's a certified Gazlan. And then the Gemara said, so at that point, if we would stop here, who would win? The Marakama would win. Because we do know that Ploni is a Gazan. Taka, he is a Gazan. So you claim to have bought it from Ploni. He's a Gazan. That doesn't help you. So how's the Machza going to win? He says, no, but I have more evidence. Not just that I bought it from Ploni, the Gazlan, and I have Shnei Chazaka. That's true that Gazlanim have no Chazaka. Anyone who's Ba Mikocham has no Chazaka either. The Gemara says, Mem Zayin, the Ben HaGazlan, who claims to have inherited the land from his father, the Gazlan, he has no Chazaka. Same thing here. You claim to have bought it from the Gazlan, your Chazaka is worthless. He says, yes, I have a different proof. Forget about my Chazaka. I have a Hodas Baldin that you made. Isli Sahadi, Dasayim Lechibach. I asked you for advice the night before, and you told me, Zilzavin, you encouraged me to buy the property from Ploni. You said it's a great investment. So that obviously implies that it will be a valid sale. Obviously, if you told me I should go buy it from Ploni, obviously it means Ploni owns it, not you. Telling me that I should buy it from Ploni if you own it is a terrible investment. It's flushing your money away. So obviously you made an implied hodah in front of Edim. Isli Sahadi, I have Edim. Who witnessed this conversation between you and me. So what is the response? The response to that is, that Hadas Baldin is also worthless. That Hadas Baldin is also worthless. Why is it worthless? So what the Gemara does not say, let's put a little piece together from last time. What the Gemara does not say is, it's worthless, because the same thing I just told you a minute ago. Polanya Gazlanahu. That's what the Russian and the Rabbi Yonah want to know. Why didn't he give the same response two times in a row? Like, oh, you have a chazaka? No chazaka, he's a Gazan. No chazaka, it's a Gazan. But you claim that I made a hadar, but then also worthless because there's a Gazan involved. After all, ask the Russian Rabbi Yonah. That's what the Gemara says in Mem Zayin. Those are the two dinim by a Gazan. Number one, no chazaka. Number two, no hadar, but then. So why we'll see in a moment what the Gemara does say. What the Marakama does say to diffuse the Hodah, why don't I just say the same thing again? I just told you, Polanya Gazlana. So that's where we saw the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah, we discussed last time, the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah say, this is not the same. Polanya Gazlana, and therefore there's no Hodah Baldin, the Hodah Baldin doesn't count, that's because in that case, John Gotti himself comes over to you with Edom and says, the property is mine, right? And you say, yes, sir, it is. So if you make an Hadas Baldin to the Gazlan, yeah, there's a clear and present danger to the Modeh if he doesn't say what he's clearly supposed to say. So there, of course, that Hodah is in retrospect worthless. Of course, in the moment, you're going to say what you need to say to save your life, to avoid Safik Kukuch Nefashas, Safik Sakaz Nefashas. But later on, when they take it to Bezin, it's not going to help. because there's a clear, there was a looming danger. I read the Rosh Ben Yonah say, but here is different. Why? Number one, the second answer Ben Yonah gives is the Gazan isn't even there. It wasn't a conversation in our Gemara in Daf Lam. It's not a conversation having with the Gazan. Conversation having with the potential buyer. So that's very different. Number two, now that's the second terrace. The weakness is, yeah, they still could get back to him. Right? This new guy wants to buy from the Gazlan, so he's going to come back to the Gazlan and say, oh, you know, that guy told me not, the Marakama told me not to buy from you. The Marakama could still suffer from his klisheni situation. But that's the first terrace of Ben Yonah, is here you have an out. The other difference between Daf Lamed, where the potential buyer comes to the Marakama and asks for advice, versus Daf Mem Zayin, where the Gazlan himself makes the old Marakama make a hodah of the Sanhedrin. One difference is the presence or absence of the Gazlan himself. The other difference is what's the nature of the conversation. On Daf Mem Zayin, where we ignore the hodah, because the guy said, this is mine, right? There are two answers to that, yes or no. And it's clear which answer is safe and which answer is not. You don't have any other options. It's your only option if you want to stay safe, which you should, is to make a hodah baldin, so the opposite of hodah baldin was worthless. Because the only alternative to saying yes is to say no, and as you said, the kneecaps may rachmal long suffer. That's not a joke. But here, there's a third option, Ben Yonah says. He asked for advice. He didn't ask you who owns the land. Is this a good investment? So you could have said, oh, you know, it's so hard to tell. The market's crazy. You could... Tosis, the Rabbi Yonah sends you to a different sugya, not for now, a fascinating sugya later in the paragraph of Tal Yuhu Zavin, a situation where you had to sell something under duress. John Gotti comes to you and says,
you'll make the deal.
Right. I'm offering you a deal, making you an offer you can't refuse. You're going to sell me the store, right? Tal Yuhu Zavin. But they force him. So there's a whole discussion about whether or not that's a valid king. So over the course of that Gemara, the Gemara has a svara, which are Eino quotes here. Sometimes ikalish tamute. Sometimes you have a situation where there's a third choice. It's not just yes or no. As it says here. Here it's a question of hodah, but you have a third choice. You didn't have to say, you weren't going to say, don't buy it, he's a Gazan. Yeah, that might not be so smart. But you also don't have to say, yes, it's a great idea. You could say, I'm not really an expert. I don't know. There's so many ways to avoid the issue. So that's what Ben Yonah says. Number one, the Gazlan is not present. Number two, you chose to say yes when you could have said no response, no comment. There could have been safe things you could have said. So you opted to jump in and say, yes, it's his and you should buy it. That is that would have been a valid dog budget. So again, it's not, halacha l'maisa, it's not a valid dog budget. Halacha l'maisa, rather possibly Marakama wins. His hodas baldin, implied hodas baldin, and giving advice is worthless. But why? Not because of the Gemara Mem Zayin that there's never hodas a gazan. That's not relevant here. But rather, as the Gemara says, why is hodas baldin worthless here?
Because
it's a different case. Because Hashem Noach, Rishon Kashtim in him. Referencing the Mishnah at the end of Ksubas Akuf Des, that I say, there's a reason why I said that. Not that I was scared that the gods would come after me. No. That's not Daf Mem Zayin. But I wanted my land back. And I saw an opening. They give you bad advice for you, good advice for me. And that's why I said it. I didn't actually say it because I didn't really mean that the land belongs to Ploni the Gaza. I just wanted you. I said that for the following strategic reason. As we said last time, what he did is he's been moded that he did a Lav Daraisa. Last week's parsha, Lifnei Sitein Mechshol, Pshul Shamikra, Lifnei Iver Badavar, to give bad advice is good for you, but bad for the advice seeker, is a lav daraisa. It's a lav like eating bacon, it's a lav like holding your girlfriend's hand, a lav daraisa. The guy says, yeah, I did lav daraisa. I'm a Rasha, but Lamaisa, I didn't make Hadaras Baldin. And here, as we said last time, that's the principle of Amasla. That sometimes you can back out of a Hodah that you made if you can give a valid explanation of why under the circumstances you said that. I didn't really mean to say X, Y, Z. Let me explain to you why I said what I said. That's called Amasla, Aleph, Mem, Tav, Lamed, Aleph. And that's what's going on here. And we say we do accept the Amasla. Azmon and the Chacham said last time to debate the details, but it's only a detailed debate. Would you even give an Amasla if you signed the Shtar? He didn't sign a Shtar. He just gave some verbal advice the night before. So that is, even the Chacham, everyone would agree, you can make an Amasla. Question?
We punish him before we go over
a law? A good question. Do we punish him for violating a law? That's the we showed him in last week's parsha. I have a discussion about that. Nicholas Kinnock gets involved. As I think we showed him right, there is no law, there is no malchus on lifnei iver because the lav she'ein bo maisa. But it is a lav. But just like leaving Karban Pesach over till the next morning is a lav daraisa, we possibly don't get malchus because the lav she'ein bo maisa. You are a passive here too. You're speaking, but you're not doing any actions. Is it directly relevant to the sugya?
Yeah.
You're holding to that, yeah.
Wouldn't the wouldn't the idea that he's saying he gave bad advice show that he's sort of a shocker and
maybe you shouldn't believe him. Yeah, that's interesting. That would take us back to the first paragraph above Mitzvah. It does tell that he is admitting that he has lied. That's true. He is admitting that he has lied. But he's not an aide. He's not acting as an aide. He was acting as an aide. That might be. Maybe we have to figure out as the apostle aide. He's not an aide. He's the baldin. He's the towing. So his nemanis is not as. What he's saying is inherently reasonable. Yeah, is the question directly relevant?
Yes, and also an answer to Avinon's question.
Give me a question.
Okay. So when he says that I saw an opening and I took it, is it that it doesn't have to be for his own safety, or that it's definitely not?
I don't know. It's irrelevant. He had a different explanation.
But it's not specifically because Plony is a Goslin.
It's because Plony's hard to deal with, but not necessarily that I'm worried for my own. It's not that if I would have said otherwise, I would be at risk. If I would say otherwise, I would never get my land back. I don't want to just be personally safe. I want to get my land back. So here's the opportunity to get my land back. Now let's go on to the next case. Ahu Damle El Chavre. Case number 3, the second wide line, Laman of Adbeis. Ad Khan was Chazar. And now we go right there. Ahu Damle El Chavre. My boy is my Arab. Case, the third of the third party seller case. What are you doing here? What are you doing in my land? I'm like, Plony Zavinta. I bought it from Plony. Can I have Cheskz Abatim Gimoshanim? This case number 3, is very continues similarly to case number 2. Amale, Polanya Gazlanahu, your Chazak is worthless because the guy's a Gazlan. Once again, as with the previous case, the Machzik now responds that I have additional proof that's mine from what you did. But this time it's a little bit different. What he did is different than last time. The previous case, what the Machzik says, I asked you for advice and you advised me to buy it. Here, it's Ba'isli Sahadi, I have aided the Asis Be'urta, that you came to me the night before. Va'amrus li zabna ni'ali. You said to me, you got to have the grammar down here, buy it, ni'ali is to me. Buy it to me. Buy it, in other words, for me. In other words, you got to hold copies, like Yavama's case almost, but it was sados instead of the relationships. The Reuven is a marakam, yeah? Levi has the field. Reuven says, what are you doing here? So Levi says, well, I bought from Shimon. Right, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So far, so good. So then, Levi says, I have a chazaka. So Reuven says, you have no chazaka because you're a bakocho of the Gaz. Shimon's a gazlan. You're a bakocho of a gazlan. Just like Ben a gazlan ain't no chazaka. You don't have a chazaka. Says Levi, yes, but you might be right that my chazaka doesn't work. I have a different proof that it's mine. What's my proof that it's mine? In other words, what's my proof that Shimon owned it? Shimon was a legitimate owner before he sold it to me.
You
asked me the night before I, Levi, bought it from Shimon for myself. You, Reuven, came to me and asked me to be your agent to buy it for you from Shimon. Got that? Reuven came to Levi and said, I know Shimon is selling that land. I know you're in negotiations with Shimon to buy it. I know that tomorrow you're probably going to close on a little deal. You're going to buy the land from Shimon for yourself. I have a deal to make with you. I've offered to make you, Reuven says. Instead of buying it for yourself, I'll offer you more money to buy it for me. My relationship with Shimon, what does that mean? It probably explains, I assume. My relationship with Shimon is very complicated. It's very complicated for me to buy from him directly. We don't get along anymore. So, but I know that your negotiation is to buy from him. You're going to buy from him, you know, for $50,000. Buy it on my behalf instead. And I'll pay you for it. I'll pay you well. So Levi says, now, we don't hear the rest of the story. Obviously, Levi says, I told you no. I said, I want to buy it for myself. I don't want to buy your bed. I think it's a good investment. I want to build a factory here. I want a farm here, whatever it is. So Levi says, I didn't actually take you up on the offer. You wanted me, in other words, Levi says to Reuven, you wanted me to be your shliach to buy it from Shimon on your behalf. I didn't. Instead, I bought it for myself. But the point is, this deal never, that part of that deal never happened. Levi doesn't claim to have actually bought it on Reuven's behalf. That's going to get confusing because then Taka is Reuven. So obviously Levi is not saying, and I went through with it. Obviously Levi is saying, I ignored you. I blew you. I said, thank you very much, but I want to buy it for myself. But the point is what? So what's the point of the offer? That's how Dawes Baldin. If you came to the night before and said, I'd like, Reuven came to Levi and said, please buy the land from Shimon for me. The obvious underlying assumption is right now the land belongs to whom that night? Shimon. Reuven himself said it belongs to Shimon. Reuven himself, the Marakama, thank you, said it belongs to Ploni. If the Marakama was asking the Machazik to please buy from Ploni on my back, Ein lecha hadol baldin, gedola mizu. If I want to buy it from you, obviously it's not mine. If I walk into your store, and buy a bike, obviously that means I'm admitting that 10 minutes ago before I walked into the store, the bike was yours, not mine. If it was already mine, why would I have bought it? So here you didn't actually buy it. You were trying to buy it. You asked me to buy it on your behalf. Obviously, it's not yours. Obviously, the night before the Mechira, it wasn't yours. So what's the answer? Amina, so Amalei, Amina Isbon Dinoi. Here he says, so the Marakama responds, yes, it's true that I came to the night before I offered you that deal. But you know why? Because really I want the land back. Really, the land was mine. The land was mine, but I thought, I'll buy my din. Ezbon dinoi, in other words, Reuven says to Levi, in the Beis Din, is what were my options? My other option, really it was mine. What was my other option? To go to war against Shimon. To take Shimon to court. That's very difficult. I want the land back. I think it's a great investment. I think it's going to go up. Or it's next to my other fields. I think it is my land. I want that land. And it's worth it for me. I want to get it back. And it's cheaper for me to just buy it than to take him to court. As bone dinah, I figured, let me just buy my din Torah. Not in a sleazy sense. Not like I'm going to buy the yadim. Right, I would rather, in other words, as Reuven says, the Marakama, really Shimon is a Gazan. And really Shimon took stuff that's mine. And if I wanted to, I could go to court and get it back. But to take Shimon to court, Shimon's a tough guy. It's going to be so much aggravation. And Shimon is going to play games. And he's going to bring false witnesses. Who knows what type of tricks he's going to pull. He's gonna bring shady tone in. He's gonna pull such a shtick. So I may not even win in Basin because he's such a shyster. Even if I do, it's gonna be such aggravation. I'd rather just buy it again. I'd rather just lay out the money. But Reuven says, the truth is it is mine all along. So with Shimon, I had no choice. But taking him to court would be horrific. I'd rather just pay. But now that you bought it, I have to tell you that the truth is, not that you're the one who can be taken to court, I have to tell you the truth is, it's really mine all along. In other words, as some guys pointed out during Seder, fundamentally very similar to the previous case, it's once again, the Machazik is saying, the Levi is saying, Reuven, you made a Dawes Baldin to me, and I have Eidim, you made a Dawes Baldin to me, and Reuven says, you're right, I have an Amasla. I said that, but it wasn't really Shimon's. I said it, in the previous case, I said it because Harishon Kasher, it's very similar to Hashem Noach. The reason why the language is different here is because it wasn't just a case of encouraging you to buy it. I actually offered, I was ready to plunk that money. That's mamash a maisa. So that's a bigger chiddush. We said before that a maisa you wouldn't necessarily sign on a document, okay? So, but this is the type of maisa apparently a person that was a shayla. And this is a maisa actually costs you money. Signing a document is free. Here you're willing to plunk down thousands of dollars or whatever, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. So, but Amar Rava, that is reasonable. Avin Inish, the Zavin Dini, sometimes people do this. Again, not when you're dealing with reasonable other people, but if you're dealing with a Goslin, yeah, sometimes when you're dealing with a Goslin, this is something that people sometimes have to do. No one wants to, but an honest person who finds himself stuck on the other side of a Din Torah from a Goslin might choose, may sometimes make the decision that it's in my best interest to just plunk down the money and buy it again because the karka is worth it. And this is an example, and let's take a step back for a moment. You sowed for life from the sugya. The principle in economics. Which principle in microeconomics and behavioral economics is suggested by Aved Inish de Zavin Dine? It happens to be such a useful yesod in life. Even more, even greater. It implies way beyond Dine Torah, way beyond Dine Mamanus, about decision making. About decision making. The concept of this is the most practically useful, hopefully for other things we learned today are not saying practically useful. This will be practically the most practically useful Nakuda. The concept economists call it all interesting suggestions. Economists call it a sunken cost. A sunken cost. I spent money on something. I'll give you an example. I buy a car. There are arguments to be made in favor of buying a lightly used car, heavily used car, leasing. You can discuss which in the long run is best. A guy buys a car, whatever it is. He leases, and then now the market is, prices of cars went through the roof. So he figures instead of trying to lease again, he's just going to buy out the lease. So it's the cheapest way to have a car. So now he owns a car. So I own a car. I paid good money for it. I paid X thousands of dollars for the car. Okay. So as the car begins to age, so the first couple of years, it's under warranty in case anything happens, and things tend not to happen the first couple of years. As the car ages, Baruch Hashem, the same Latova, Riches Yamim, car ages, it starts to get a little creaky, and starts to need repairs here and there. This needs to be fixed, that needs to be fixed, this part needs to be replaced. Okay. At a certain point, the repairs are happening more frequently, and they're becoming more expensive. So at a certain point, you're going to say, you have to ask yourself, is it worth holding on to this car, or is it just becoming such a liability because I'm paying so much? Should I just sell it off and get something else? So now you might say to yourself, but I already paid so much money for this car. I'm gonna get rid of it. But I already invested, or let's say I just did a major repair. I invested $1,000 in the car to fix one creak. Right? And then a week later it turns out, well, there's something else broke. So the guy feels like, I just messed $1,000. Now I'm gonna junk it. But what's gonna happen to my $1,000? But that's ridiculous, because keeping your car doesn't get you the $1,000 back. Whether you keep the car or get something else, the $1,000 is gone either way. It's a sunken cost. I'll give you another example. You,
the game was there.
Right. If people understood sunken cost, they would not keep gambling. I already put in so much money, I can't stop now. You're not going to get, well, the game was a little different because you think you're getting the money back. Right? Let's say you travel to a simcha. You travel to a wedding in Lakewood, you travel an hour and a half to go to a wedding in Lakewood. It's worth going, the person that's going to matter to the person that you're there. But sometimes you go to a wedding, and it matters to the person that you're there for hours. Because they want to see you at the chuppah, they want to see you at the dance, the first and the second dance. Other times, you're going to spend 10 minutes with them. And then they're not going to even know whether you're there beyond or not. So sometimes the person says, I drove an hour and a half. After 10 minutes, I'm going to drive back. For that, I drove an hour and a half.
Right?
But the truth is, you don't get, by staying longer, you don't get the time that you drove back. Either it's a sunken cost. Either way, you spent the hour and a half in the car. If it was if you made a cheshbon correctly, that it was worth driving the hour and a half for him to see your friend at his house and give it. If your friend's going to see you for the next 2 hours to stay for that, he's not even going to see you beyond the next 10 minutes. So you don't get the time that you spend back by staying longer. That's the concept of a sunken cost. The again, it's an illusion many people have that because I already invested so much in X, I can't give up on X now.
No,
and I better spend... Another good example, right. I stopped, maybe that's the most practical example, right? On the trip to Lakewood, an hour and a half, so there are different sheets about whether you stop at the rest stop or not. You just try to go straight. You stop at the rest stop, you paid $8 for an ice cream bar. Overpriced, right? At the rest stop. And it's not even good. The ice cream doesn't taste good. The ice cream doesn't even taste good. You say, I paid $8 for it, I'm not going to finish it. So the guy forced himself to eat the ice cream he doesn't like. But that's mamish the sunken cost. Because it's not like you're getting the money back by eating the ice cream. Whether you eat the rest of the ice cream after the first bite, you say, this is spoiled, it's going to throw it out. Either way, the $8 are a sunken cost. So it's a very common error in human thinking to say, well, I spent so much money, oh, I better use it. Even though it doesn't cost, exactly, you're not gaining. It's not as though otherwise you're going to have to buy other ice cream. Eat the ice cream or throw it out, just move on. So that's what's going on here. How do you see that in our Gemara? That's exactly what Rav is saying. That the Marakama appreciates, he does appreciate the concept of a sunken cost. Because the Marakama does appreciate that even though I already paid good money for this karka the first time, and then the plony stole it from me. So my natural instinct would be to say, oh, I'm going to pay more for it. A chutzpah, I want it back. Yes, that might be true. If you could get it, you are entitled to it back. It is yours legitimately. But and normally, go to Beis Din and get it back from him. But sometimes Reuven will say, I can go to Beis Din, but it'll be so aggravating and so costly in terms of time, in terms of aggravation. It may even work because Shimon is such a liar, such a chakran, he'll bring false edim. It's in my best interest to just pay again. The easiest way to get my land back is to pay again. So clearly, Rav is saying there are enough people out there who understand the concept of sunken cost and would have the rationality to say that even though I already paid for the land, it's really mine, but under these circumstances, the best course of action is just to pay again. The fact that I paid for it a couple years ago when I bought it, that's a sunken cost. I'm not getting that money back by not going to not by by letting Shimon get by paying Shimon to pay, by doing whatever I'm doing with Shimon. So it's worth, if my options are pay again or not have it, the fact that I already paid for it is irrelevant. If I want the karka, I'll pay again. And that's what Rava says. Avid inish zavin dine. It might be that Reuven is talking tal to the karka, but he knows he's not going to get it back unless he pays for it again. And he will be rational enough to realize it's true I paid for it a few years ago, but that's a sunken cost. And it's worth it for me to pay for it again if I want it, rather than to not pay for it and to never get it back. Because I don't know that I'm ever going to get it back otherwise. So that your sort of sunken cost is so, so, so useful in your decision making. Big decisions, small decisions. So often the fact that I already invested in one option makes it hard for me to say, but right now, what are my options? It doesn't matter that I invested right in option A, but I'm not getting the money back either way. So that's not a differentiator between whether I pick A or B going forward. And then let's move forward to case number 4. I'm glad to take your questions, b'simcha, later. Who dame l'chavrei? The last of the four third-party cases, and there are two comments that Tosfos makes. Two Tosfosin. Let's see where this takes us. A lot going on. Both these Tosfosin are ma'at hakamos, the Rav ha'eches. A small quantity, sometimes the smallest Tosfosin are the toughest, or at least particularly juicy. Here we are, five lines from the bottom line of base. The fourth case of Miplanyim. My boy is Bahayara. What are you doing in my land? Well, I bought it from Ploni. Reuben says to Levi, what are you doing here? This is my land. And Levi says, well, I don't know. I bought it from Shimon. And I've been here for years of Chazaka. Unlike the previous two cases, Reuben does not respond in this case with Planya Gazlana. He doesn't say that Shimon is a Gazlan. Instead, he says, there's a different reason why your Chazaka is worthless. Not that your Chazaka is worthless because you got it from a Gazlan, but rather, Bahana Kitna Shtara Dizavani Le. Hanakita Shar de Zavana Li Mine Ha Arbi Shani. You say that you, Levi, that you bought it from Shimon, and your proof is you have Shnei Chazaka, meaning now it's Tavshin Pei Beis. You say you've been here for the last 3 years since Tavshin, Ayin Tes, 3 years ago. So Reuben says that's very nice, but I have a shtar that I bought it from Shimon 4 years ago. So it's nice that Shimon sold it to you 3 years ago, but it was no longer his. So that sort of puts the lie to your chazaka. Not that I say generally Shimon is a gazlan, by specific proof that Shimon was not in possession of this property 3 years ago because he had sold it to me the year before. So that's sort of the end of that. It sounds like it's a pretty strong argument in favor of the Toein, in favor of Reuven. But Levi is not done. What does Levi say? A question of Lashon. Mi Savris, but here's not a question of Lashon like a Masla that we had in the last 2 cases. Well, I said it, but here's the reason why I said it. No. He says, Mi Savris Shnei Chazaka Talashni Ka'amina. Shnei Chazaka Tuva Ka'amina. I didn't say I've been here for 3 years of Chazaka. I said I have been here for years of Chazaka. I didn't say Dafka three, at least three. It could be. Could be more than three. I've been here for many years. So he turns the tables. Levi, the Nitan, the Machazik, turns the tables on Reuven, and he says, "If Shimon sold it to both of us, you're not the one who bought it first. You think you bought it from him first, therefore my sale is invalid." You say, "Well, you bought it from him 4 years ago. You thought I meant I bought it from 3 years ago? No, I bought it from years and years, many years ago." Many years. Shnei Chazaka is at least three. There could be way more than that. I never said only three. No. It's been many years. I'm sorry that you're the one who got fooled by Shimon. But it wasn't me. I bought it first. I'm sorry for your loss. I feel bad that he was selling you the Brooklyn Bridge 4 years ago, but it was already mine at that point. Amalei Nachamal, third line from the bottom. Mi Sarva Shnei Chazaka Tlashni Kamina. You think I meant 3 years? No. Shnei Chazaka Tuva. Tuva means many. Shnei Chazaka Tuva Kamina. I meant many, many years. And Amar Rava, Avidi Inshi Dekor L'Shnei Shani Tuva Shnei Chazaka. That is a typical use of language, Rava said. It's the same type of Avid Inish, but now it's in favor of Levi rather than the previous case there was in favor of Reuven. It says Levi's Taina is a reasonable Taina. There is no proof. That is a common use of language. Again, I don't know what the language is nowadays, but it's irrelevant. In 3rd, 4th century Bavel, that was a normal turn of phrase. Shnei Chazaka might be used to mean 3 years or way more than 3 years. So there's no... So Levi's going to win. And then the Gemara adds a footnote, a qualification. Well, there's one more condition. The Hani Mi, because the question is, okay, we believe Levi that he didn't necessarily say three. But Lamaisa, Reuven has a shtar that he bought the karka. What does Levi have? Years of chazaka that follow the shtar. That doesn't prove anything. So the Gemara says, Hani Mi da achla sheva. Levi would have to have Edim, once he actually brings the Edim in, he's going to have Edim that he has 7 years of Chazaka. Why 7 years? I mean, he already had 3 years of Chazaka before the date on Reuven Shtar. So that way he can legitimately say, I am Kodem to you. I can prove, I already had established my Chazaka before it was yours. Why? What's going to happen otherwise? Let's say not. Let's say he says, I bought 3 years ago. I bought 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I still claim that I bought it before you did, and I have a chazakah. What does it matter when your shtar is? I claim I bought it a day before you, and I have a chazakah to back it up. Why do you have to have the whole cheska batzim, the whole 3 years beforehand? The Gemara says, because of this chap. Because shis, ein lecha macha gedol mizu. Because it's true that in order for me to win, I just have to prove that I bought it a day before you. This takes us back to daf lamadal lamadhe, the shnei shtaris. What if I can prove I bought it a day before you bought it, of course it's mine. The problem is, my only proof is chazakah. How is chazakah deflated? We've been looking at all sorts of side points. We should remember, the main normal din, is that the way you take down a chazakah is with a macha. And usually macha just means that the Marakama says in front of Edim, oh, that guy, that's not really his. But the best macha is to sell it. And look, what better way of flexing that this is my karka, not yours, but to sell it. So the Gemara says, If Levi claims that he bought it before Reuven, but not 3 years before Reuven, so if Levi has a shtar that codems Reuven's shtar, Levi wins. But if Levi just has a chazakah, the Reuven shtar is the macha against Levi's chazakah. If Reuven can show that Shimon sold the land within the first 3 years after Levi claims to have bought the land from Shimon, so that shtar, that mechira to Reuven, is the ultimate macha. So it just ruined, but Reuven shtar eliminates Levi's chazakah. So now we're back to square one, where Reuven has proof they bought from Shimon 4 years ago. Levi claims they bought from Shimon 6 years ago, but he has no proof because the chazakah just went out the window. So that's garnished. You don't have a chayyona anything. You don't have a chazakah. So that's the end of that. That's the end of that. Now, let's just set up where we're going forward in Ritz Hashem tomorrow. There's a Tosas Laman of a Beis, and a Tosas Laman Aleph of an Aleph. We should wrap up at 12:15 to make it to the buses, is that correct? Or 12:15 too late? 12:15 is it? Okay, so especially since we're on the first floor, so you have a quick getaway. So two teeny Tosas in here on this fourth Miplanya case. The Tosas on the bottom Lamed of Beis Aviv, and the top Tosas on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. So they both raise interesting points. Tosas Aviv on Lamed of Beis points out that let's plug the end of the Gemara back into the beginning. Because Rava said that you win, Rava said Levi can win, because it's normal that you would say Shnei Chazakah, that really means 7, 10, whatever, more years. But then the Gemara says, this is only going to work if you have a Cheskabatim that goes back 7 years. Now, you already have Eidim to your Cheskabatim back in the Tavshinayims. Tosa says, 1 second, but you still also need part number one, which is Aved Inish. That's interesting. Meaning, Rav is saying that if I have Eide Chazaka, that I was living here 7 years ago and 6 years ago and 5 years ago, but I, if not for Aved Inish, if not for the fact that my language fits it, Levi would lose. In other words, Levi has Eide Chazaka that he owned the karka years ago. Shnei Chazaka. But still, because he said I moved in 3 years ago, that would undo it. That's fascinating. Levi has Edim to his benefit, but his own words would overpower that. That's something that Tosas raises on the first of the two Tosas in the Sugya. That even in the because up until now we've been told by Hodas Baldin, in the previous two cases also, but Hodas Baldin against nothing. Here, Levi, the problem is if Shnei Chazakah meant 3 years, Levi would lose because of his words, even though he has Edim to support him. That's something we need. That's something that Tosas points out in Ovid. That Hodas Baldin is not just works to my detriment, even works to my Hodas Baldin is stronger than Edim. That's an interesting insight. This is not the only place in Shas where that comes up. So we'll talk about that a little more next time. And that will allow us to take a little bit of a detour into the world of Hodas Baldin. And it would be perhaps malpractice to leave the sugya without sharing with you the classic conversation in Achronah about the nature of Adol Pade, which maybe shed some light on this also. Achol Gizemari Ibn Leib in the Ketzos. We pick up with that tomorrow, number one, in terms of this Tosis. Number two, in terms of the next Tosis, Tosis raises a question about Nigo. And in the 90 seconds that remain, I'll ask you the following question. Tosfos, the Gemara said that if I, the Maskar of the Sugya, if I have Ege Chazak, I've been living here for the last 5-6 years, who wins? You win because your Shtar is a Macha'a against my Chazaka. What else could I have said?
Believe me that I said Shnei Chazaka, because I could have said 7 years, which would have automatically...
No, I don't have Eidim. But if I have years of Chazaka, if you bought the Karka 3 years, 4 years ago, and I've been living here for the last 5 years, you know what I could have very easily said?
Nothing.
I could have said I bought it from you 4 years ago, and here are my Eidim Chazaka, I've lived here for the last 4 years. I made a claim that I bought it from Reuven, from the other guy. And then your star kills that. I could have also lied and said, I bought it from you.
No.
So don't have an ego. Shouldn't you believe me when I say, I'm telling you, I bought it from Shimon 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago. But you say, oh, but then the chazaka is getting ruined by the star, the tamacha. I could say, I bought it from you. That would have been an easy win. You have a shtar that you bought it 4 years ago. I've been living here for the last 3+ years. I could have just easily said, I bought it from you. And I have a chazaka. If I wanted to lie, if I wasn't an honest person, I would win this very simply. I don't have to bring the third party. Oh, I bought it from him, but you bought it from him. I could have said, I bought it from you. That's the simplest case. That's ABCs. So don't have amigo. I'm giving a complicated explanation, but if I'm telling the truth, I don't have a chazaka, but if I'm telling the truth, I bought it before you, then it is mine, and I could have won in a very simple way. What shouldn't I be believed? Why is Rav ignoring the Migo? So these two Tosis then open up in this little piece of Gemara, the fourth of the Upanya cases, two interesting questions. The unusual, remarkable strength of Hadad Badin, stronger now even than to Edim, which is usually the gold standard of Nemanus, and the surprising power of Hadaz Baldin and the surprising absence of Migo. And that's going to take us back from this tiny toast at the top of Lamed Aleph to the long toast on Lamed to figure out what this tells me about Migo.